Hi there. Today I'm asking, what makes us happy? Big question. We all want to understand this. Today let's learn how life's simple pleasures contribute to our satisfaction with life and challenge the notion that wealth equals happiness. An article recently caught my eye. Let's use this to help you practice your English language. In particular today, I'll cover quite a lot of those difficult abstract nouns. They're easier to learn and remember if you meet them in context. So let's talk about something that matters to us all and which needs abstract nouns to describe it. Hello, I'm Hilary and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. The article headline I saw said, in a recent study, researchers surveyed 3,000 people living in poor, small-scale societies about their life satisfaction. Satisfaction is a noun, S-A-T-I-S-F-A-C-T-I-O-N, and a measure of how satisfied we are, how happy we are, here with life in general. And this research found that these people's life satisfaction is on a level with those who live in the wealthiest countries. It says, simple joys such as social interaction and nature play a big role in driving life satisfaction in what it calls these small-scale communities. And the article suggests that one reason is that these societies are not heavily monetized. M-O-N-E-T-I-S-E-D, meaning that money is not a huge driver or a huge part of life in these communities. Very different from our Western world then. As part of a bigger climate change research project, the researchers looked at a number of small communities across the world. They visited Kumbungu in Ghana, Laprak in Nepal, Vavatanina in Madagascar, and Loquime in Chile, and many other remote places too. Apologies for any mispronunciations there. The people living in these areas had a happiness rating of 6.8 out of 10, despite an annual income of less than $1,000 a year. Certainly not rich then. The article talks about the Melanesian people living in the Roviana and Gizo regions of the Solomon Islands, who are some of the poorest people in the world, but also some of the happiest. They live a subsistence lifestyle, fulfilling their needs by fishing and farming. Subsistence, S-U-B-S-I-S-T-E-N-C-E, means that you grow, farm, or catch your food yourself. You aren't buying from the supermarket and you have just about enough to live on. The description of the Melanesian people continues, occasionally, they sell their goods at a local marketplace to buy other types of food or pay their children's school tuition fees. The luxuries of modern life, smartphones, the internet, TV, memory foam mattresses, are hard to find. But despite this materially simple existence, the Melanesians express higher life satisfaction than residents of Finland and Denmark, who are statistically seen as some of the happiest people in the world. That's interesting in its own right, as they're living in or near the Arctic Circle. Perhaps that's another podcast. Why are the Finns and the Danes so happy? And there's other research which suggests there isn't a direct relationship between happiness and wealth. People who live in the richer countries in the world are not necessarily happier. You may be aware of this idea already, and in fact, I think you can even find data that indicates that the wealthier the country, the more dissatisfied people are. This can be difficult to believe if you come from a country that isn't wealthy. If you live in really difficult conditions, extreme poverty, say, then it's unlikely that you're happy. If you know terrible insecurity and you don't know where your next meal is coming from, or you're living with danger all around you, those aren't circumstances in which it's possible to be happy. traumatized and hungry, fearing for your life, does not go with a satisfied life. People in wealthy countries objectively have a better life. But perhaps it's part of human nature to just attach our dissatisfaction to something different. I meet rich people sometimes in my work as a psychotherapist. I'm sure they're not any happier than the ones with less money. But then, of course, I'm meeting the rich people who come for therapy. There are valid viewpoints in the middle here too. There's the saying, money doesn't buy you happiness. My mother used to say, money doesn't buy you happiness, but it helps. She was known for her sayings and her wisdom. My mother never experienced having very much money in her life. What she meant by money can't buy you happiness, but it helps, is that gold rings and fancy cars and big houses ultimately aren't what matters for happiness. She meant instead that money can solve some of life's problems. Money can open doors to opportunity like education or travel. And money can provide security, for example, in old age. Old age can be very different depending upon how much money you have. So money does have some importance, but it's more how you use it that matters. I think that's wise. So what does make people happy? And given what I just said, why aren't people in wealthy countries more happy? Before I do that, some changes in the way that Adept English does things. From now on, our Thursday audio podcast is going to be on YouTube podcasts. And of course, you can find it in all the other usual places like Spotify and Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And as ever, the full transcript and links are available on our website. The Monday podcast will continue to be video on YouTube as usual. Also, don't forget to sign up for the Adept English free course, The 7 Rules of Adept English. Effectively, by doing that, you're taking the red pill on language learning. The advice the course gives you, well, you'll wish you'd known it much earlier. But once you've done The 7 Rules of Adept English, you will know it and your language learning will benefit. All on our website at adeptenglish.com. So I think in examining happiness, a good starting point is Abraham Maslow's model, The Hierarchy of Needs. This is a well-known model that you may have come across before. It's Maslow, M-A-S-L-O-W. I mentioned it in the podcast 603 that I made on hobbies and why they're so important to us. The bottom level needs in Maslow's hierarchy are the essential things. They need to be taken care of in order for us to be happy. So in that model, that bottom level of needs are things like to be able to breathe clean air, to have food, water, clothing, shelter, and somewhere safe to sleep. In certain areas of the world, you may not have these basic conditions, and life can be truly horrible as a result. Beyond that level in Maslow's hierarchy come health, employment, property, family, and social ability. So it's hard to be happy if you're worried about your health, your source of income, your employment. Some job security is necessary and basic healthcare. And if you're particularly worried about your health, that's going to interfere with your sense of satisfaction in life. Having family. Family aren't a great source of happiness for everyone. Some people find themselves better off without their family of origin, at least. But if you have a happy family, whether that means the family that you're born into or the family that you yourself have created, then this can be both a source of happiness, but also set the scene for greater satisfaction in life, particularly later on. And if you don't have family, all is not lost. Happy people who aren't close to their families usually have social connections of different types, so they have meaningful friendships and associations with other people instead. The next level above this in Maslow's hierarchy he calls love and belonging. The word family appears again here, but also intimacy, attached and affectionate relationships. The word intimacy, I-N-T-I-M-A-C-Y, means being close. It can mean sexually, but also it can mean just close, in tune with someone, like a friend. So if you want to be happy, then you have to have some positives in your life in these areas. You might argue that the higher levels of Maslow's hierarchy are more nice-to-haves in life, meaning that they're not necessarily essential for life satisfaction, but they help. These levels are self-esteem, that's confidence, sense of achievement, and the feeling that you have the respect of others. The top level in Maslow's hierarchy is variously labelled self-actualization, contains morality, creativity, spontaneity, spirituality, feeling part of something bigger. Let's unpack that vocabulary. Morality, M-O-R-A-L-I-T-Y, means your sense of right and wrong. Spontaneity, S-P-O-N-T-A-N-E-I-T-Y, means that enjoyment when you do things immediately, without planning, on the spur of the moment. And spirituality, S-P-I-R-I-T-U-A-L-I-T-Y, means attending to your spirit, your soul. Now, I'm aware that Abraham Maslow was American, so of course this hierarchy probably reflects the normal, usual view in Western society. And if you come from another culture, the order may be a little different here. Perhaps attending to and looking after your spiritual side is something that we rather ignore in the West sometimes, and something which is a little more part of Eastern cultures. I'm generalizing here, but there may be some truth in that statement. Given all of this, what is it in societies which have a big happiness rating that makes the difference, especially when it seems to be completely independent of wealth, of money? As I've said, we're not talking here about people who don't have their basic needs met, and yet under $1,000 a year in income, they have something that satisfies them in their lives that often much wealthier people in much richer countries just don't have. Researchers found that the people they studied get a great deal of satisfaction from the simple things in life, like music, going for a walk, or simply relaxing. Friends and family and socializing also bring them joy. And spending time in nature is important in these non-monetized communities. I think another factor, when everyone has a similar amount of wealth, when nobody you know is wealthier or has any more than anybody else, there is less of the envy, that's E-N-V-Y, and competition that comes with money in wealthier societies. I think there's much to learn here. Let us know what you think, and thank you for joining me today. Stay tuned to the Adept English podcast and remember to enjoy the simple things in life. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.